Hi there, this is Michael Lowry, pastor of East Congregational United Church of Christ in Concord, New Hampshire, and this is the Love to Tell the Story podcast. As Christians, we hail Jesus Christ as the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The question is, though, when it comes to you and me and our daily lives, does Christ reign over us? That's the question we're asking in today's message, which is based on John chapter 18, verses 33 through 37, and the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. And it begins with some thoughts on how you and I see Jesus. Well, here's a question on which we can ponder this morning. When you think of Christ, what kind of image comes to your mind? Let me ask that another way. How do you see Jesus in your mind's eye? Well, I suspect that for many of us, we would see Jesus as a brother or a friend, as one who walks with us along the journey of life, sometimes walking right beside us, other times taking the lead, but always there, always talking with us as we go, and giving us wise counsel along the way. Actually, I got to tell you, that's always sort of been what I envision when I think of Jesus. But then again, I also know that there are others among us who will always see Jesus as the good shepherd of the Gospels, the gentle Savior who seeks out the lost and the injured sheep, the one who carries the wounded and the lame to safety upon his own shoulders. I also know quite a few, including some of my colleagues in ministry, who prefer an image of Jesus as a divine rebel, the one who challenges the authorities of this and every time, the one who turns the world upside down with righteous anger and redeeming love, and who calls us to follow him. There's also Jesus the teacher, Jesus the healer, the Jesus who sits with little children gathered around him, and Jesus who himself was this tiny babe wrapped in rags and sleeping in a manger. So many personas of Christ, if you will, so many pictures that we have in our mind's eye that help define our relationship with him. But you know, I wonder, when we think of Jesus, how many of us will come up with the image of a king? Now, I know it's not that we're unfamiliar with the image. After all, before too long, we're going to be singing of herald angels giving glory to a newborn king. It's just, I'm guessing anyway, that because of our modern sensibilities, it's this one persona that with which we might feel a little uncomfortable. These days, when you talk about a king, it conjures up images of childhood fairy tales on the one hand, or on the other hand, the latest gossip and scandal involving modern day royals. Moreover, in modern parlance, the word king often suggests a patriarchal kind of absolute rule, right? A king suggests to us sometimes that this is a man of immense power, who's unafraid of issuing orders and compelling obedience. And that's most definitely not the picture of Jesus that we've come to know and love. Yet here it is, a day on the Christian calendar in which we celebrate the Christian confession that Christ is King. Granted, these days we tend towards the more inclusive label, you heard me use it a little while ago, the reign of Christ. But truth be told, historically and traditionally, this last Sunday in the season of Pentecost has always been known by the church as Christ the King Sunday, in which the image of Jesus as King is front and center. And not simply King, even, you know, not just, you know, King with a small K, but King with a large capital K, King of kings, Lord of lords, King of the church, King of the nation, the ruler of the kings and the earth. It is the name that is above every name. The name I just said, King of kings, Lord of lords. And so here it is, Christ the King Sunday, and it's our opportunity to look at Jesus as King. Now, make no mistake here, friends, Holy Scripture takes this idea of kingship very seriously. In fact, it can well be argued that a large part of the biblical story actually tells how God answered the cries of his people Israel for a king who would rule them with justice and wisdom, a ruler who would lead them out of exile into all glory. But more than just a bit of ancient history here, more than just sort of the way that the biblical narrative unfolds, this is about how God answered those cries. And that in the end makes the difference. It's why we celebrate a Christ the King Sunday. For when the Gospels announce to us that God finally did give Israel and us a king, it turns out that this was not the king that they expected or even wanted, but it was the king that they needed. Jesus, you see, was a king, but he was a king of another kind. This king, writes Royal Birkenbosch, was born of peasant stock and held no claims to a royal pedigree or a legacy of social or military power, but in fact lived with an affection for and an identification with the poor, the least, and the lost. He teaches people to love their enemies, not destroy them, writes Birkenbosch, to seek endless forgiveness, not endless vengeance. He introduces the law of unconditional love, and he redefines power by humbly washing the feet of his followers. He is Jesus the Christ, and he comes with the announcement that in him the kingdom of God has come near, in the midst of us to be received as a gift. I will say it again. Jesus comes to us as a king of another kind. One who is neither the ruler of a territory nor of a particular race of people, but instead a ruler, a sovereign of truth. He is Christ the King, the Messiah, given authority, glory, and sovereign power through the God of the universe. In the eloquent words of this morning's text from the Revelation that Kay shared with us, he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the one who will reign forever and ever, the one in whom all divided hearts will one day see the truth of the one true and living God. And to put it another way, friends, Christ reigns supreme. Actually, you know, it occurred to me this week as I was writing the sermon that our gospel text for this morning actually kind of feels a little bit out of place for this time of year, right? The passion narrative from which the passage from John's gospel, our other text for this morning, is drawn, seems, as you heard it, I imagine you thought what I did. It seems better suited for Lent or Holy Week, rather than right now when we're just about to embark on the journey of Advent and Christmas time. But in fact, this little exchange between Pontius Pilate and Jesus strikes to the very heart of what we are talking about here this morning. It's actually a wonderful bit of the story. As we pick up the passage, Jesus, of course, has already been despised and rejected by the authorities, already betrayed by Judas, already denied by Peter, and abandoned by his disciples. And now he's standing before Pilate. And Pilate's job was that of regional governor for Caesar, and it was to keep peace in the area and figure out what he was supposed to do about this man, this rabble-rouser, this alleged king of the Jews, Jesus. The truth, however, is that Pilate really didn't know what to do because he couldn't find any grounds for the charges made against Jesus. And so as the two of them are standing there together, he starts asking questions, no doubt to find a legitimate reason for a death sentence, or perhaps at the very least to find a loophole to get himself out of this situation. And so he dives right in and he asks Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" In other words, who are you really, Jesus? Are you a threat? Are you the leader of some kind of movement that's going to overthrow our government and mess up the status quo? I mean, again, one thing I find really wonderful about this passage is even as Pilate is asking all these questions, Jesus is responding to these questions while not ever really answering them at all. Jesus says, "Well, do you ask this on your own? Or did others tell you about me? See, my kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world," he says, "my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews." And as the message goes on to translate it, "I'm not that kind of king. Not the world's kind of king." And then Pilate, and this is almost the best part of the story, no doubt exasperated by a conversation that was certainly going nowhere and wasn't going to go anywhere, he asks, "So, are you a king or not? I've had enough of this, Jesus. Answer the question. Are you a king or not?" To which Jesus replies again, "You tell me. I was born and entered the world so that I could witness to the truth. And everyone who cares for truth, who has any kind of feeling at all for the truth, recognizes my voice." And even then, friends, you'll notice that Pilate doesn't get what Jesus has been saying to him all along. In fact, in the verse that immediately follows what we read today, Pilate can only respond by saying, "What is truth? What is truth anyway?" See, what Pilate could not understand, and truly what we so often fail to see, is that Jesus' kingship cannot be judged by worldly standards. On the contrary, the standards and practices of the world end up being judged by the truth and the love that Jesus brings. Everything about our lives, everything, our loyalties and allegiances, the priorities we set as our own and the choices we make for ourselves, all the many empires of this life in the world of which we are a part, they all end up ultimately coming under the intense scrutiny of the one who is the King of Kings. And as such, then, he is the Lord of life. The Lord of life. Each and every day of it, with all of its mystery, all of its wonder, all of its challenge, all of its uncertainty, the whole ball of wax. His kingdom, you see, is one of justice. Even when that justice is costly. His kingdom is one of love, even and especially when that love is sacrificial. His kingdom is one of peace, always and ever standing in opposition to the usual patterns of power in this world we live in. His kingdom is one of true servanthood, in which taking up the cross is the means to true leadership. It's all radical, upside down, inside out thinking. But that's who Christ is. And he is Christ, the King of our present reality. Your reality, my reality. So I guess, understanding all this, the only question that remains is this one. Does Christ reign over us? At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when it all comes down for you and me, the question is, who's really in charge? Is it Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ truly Lord of our lives? Does Jesus reign? or us. Friends, that's a valid and good question for us to ask. Because the truth is that so many of us make the claim that Christ has dominion over our lives, even as it's very clear that our allegiance, not to mention our attention, is somewhere else altogether. You know, there was a Gallup poll done a few years back now, and at the time they reported that while 86% of all Americans considered themselves to be Christian, less than half of those even knew who preached the Sermon on the Mount. Likewise, it was reported at the time of this survey that while 60% of the country said that they were in church on Easter Sunday, one out of four people who were in church were unable to express what Easter really was about. Amazing to me. Just simply amazing. And it's made even more amazing when you consider that there are more recent studies that have revealed that the numbers of people who will identify themselves as Christian have declined rather than grown. The numbers, you see, aren't getting any better. In fact, what's being revealed is that more and more people, when they are asked about their religion on these surveys, they are responding, none. We are becoming the generation in the church who are on a mission amongst the none. And that's disturbing on a whole lot of different levels, but it makes me ask a lot of questions. Have that many of us really let our faith so fade into the background of our lives to have it become little more than yearly tradition and the occasional pomp and circumstance, if that? Is it true that we have become so divided by all the many allegiances of our daily lives, the social, the political, the economic, the spiritual, that we have ignored that one allegiance that truly matters? Well, friends, I just pray that we not allow this to happen. The late Reverend Wiley Stevens, pastor and author out of the Methodist tradition, he said this very well when he wrote that the true challenge of the kingdom is to let God be God in your church, to let God be God in your neighborhood, to let God be God in your job, in your family, and in your world. For our lives to have true meaning and purpose, indeed, for our world to garner the love and peace that it is so hungering for, we need to acknowledge who's really in charge. We need to declare our allegiance to the one who truly and wholly reigns over our lives. Moreover, friends, we need to be asking ourselves on our daily walk what God wants us to do, what we should be doing with our days, what we should be doing with our lives, with our family and our community, with our church, yes, but also with our world. We need to be asking that question, but then we need to be listening to Jesus, who is the Lord of our very lives, and look for the answers. For it is the power of his reign that we experience his kingdom in our midst. And so, as we've been saying, I guess, quite frequently over the last few weeks, we need to be waiting and watching and paying attention to what God has to say to us in Christ our King. I would also say that this seems to be of particular importance just about now, as now we're coming to the close of this year's celebration of Thanksgiving Day, and now we will be running headlong into the Advent and Christmas seasons. After all, what does this season of the year seek to bring to us if not an increased awareness of God's abundance through the ages? If not a sense of his power and presence in this very moment? If not the declaration that God is going to be with us in the future that is yet to unfold. I love this time of the year. You folks know that. But holiday traditions and family gatherings are not just being nostalgic about past blessings. They also need to raise in us a sense of expectation regarding God's loving activity and everything that's to come. See, Pontius Pilate, for all his power and his prestige, could not even begin to wrap his mind around that. He certainly wasn't going to direct his rule around that truth. That even as God's greatest activity, the gift of his Son and our Savior, stood helplessly there before him, Pilate could not even begin to get a glimpse of the greater truth of God's plan. At the end of it all he could really say is, well, what is truth anyway? Well, my prayer for all of us today in this busy time of the year that is even now unfolding before us is that we not miss that truth, God's truth, so that in all the comings and goings of our lives, in and through the celebrations and the sorrows, today, tomorrow, and in all of our tomorrows, we will recognize and affirm through our very lives that Christ reigns over us, that Christ reigns over all. And knowing that, that we can rejoice. Let us rejoice, beloved, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and he has made us a kingdom. So to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So it is to be. Thanks be to God and Christ our King. Amen and amen.
And that's the message entitled, Does Christ Reign? It was recorded during our November the 26th Christ the King Sunday service of worship at East Church. By the way, especially now as the holiday season fast approaches, you are always invited to join us in person for worship here at East Church. It happens every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the church on 51 Mountain Road, which is located just off exit 16 of I-93 in Concord, New Hampshire. Especially as the Advent and Christmas seasons are almost here, I would love to have the opportunity to welcome you to our worship, and I know you'll be glad you came. For now, that's it for this episode of the Love to Tell the Story podcast. And as always, I thank you for listening, and until next time, may God bless you with a great day every day. We'll talk to you soon.